Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right, welcome to Cash Flows. We're glad you're here today. I am Cash Matthews, your host for the evening. And we are here to talk about life. And we want to talk about some of those things that, and we like to call it the good life, but you know, often people are exploring, they're looking for an answer of some type, and they want to move their life forward, but they don't know always know where to turn, and they get a little bit stuck in the middle. And I always call that, I don't want to go to the grave with the music still in me. And so I'm just, sometimes in life, though, we get stuck, and then we learn later that what we got in trouble for in the third grade is the answer when you're 62 years old, and that is copy off your neighbor. I got busted in the third grade. I won't go into it for very long, but I found out later in life that it's one of the best attributes that you can do. Here at Cash Flows, we bring in people from the community that are doing things, that are taking action, that are in motion, not perfect motion. They're just in motion. And we believe that action cures everything. And so we call that a philosophy of fire, aim, ready. The acronym is FAR. So if you'll do it this way, you'll go far.
Very nice.
All right. So we're excited about that. And bringing entrepreneurs together, bringing family people together. The questions might be about business or life or relationships or money and finance. And in a little bit, we're going to talk about some financial items, about getting out of debt. You know, for most people, when they get married, it's till debt do us part. Is that funny?
That's true.
I like that.
So true.
Okay. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do, we're going to introduce our executive producer and my friend, Mr. Kenneth Bockham. Kenneth, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's this Cash Flows podcast that we've created has been a lot of fun.
Yes, it has been. I've enjoyed it a lot.
I don't know what episode we're on, but it feels like 1 million.
It's getting pretty close.
Yeah, we're closer.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and,
right.
But what a great job you've done and made it very comfortable for everybody. So thanks for all you do.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here helping out Tulsa area entrepreneurs, as are you. And just grateful to be able to be a part of this show with everyone. And now I know that you're an author. You're also an avid reader. We love learning. You love teaching. And I'm wondering if you can tell us in like 35 pages or less, tell us a little bit about developing a market, Cash.
You know, you and I are all the three of us are all part of this thing called the Business Owners Networking Group. And there is a caricature personality out there when people go into a business, whether they're selling something great or horrible or, you know, anything in between. And the number one question from people going into an entrepreneurial endeavor is, you know, where do I get my clients? You know, you have an idea, the idea is good. And I don't care if you're an attorney or a dentist or selling skincare or real estate or mortgages, you have to find a way to create people who use your service or product on a continual basis. Some people would call it, you know, hey, where do you get your leads, man? And that's one of my least favorite. Where do you get them leads? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think about it that way. And, you know, how do you get new clients? Like, I don't get clients. I'm in the world of personal finance. And we're going to talk about personal finance in a little bit, but a greater thing to think about is how do you develop a market for your business where you are top of mind, where you are next in line to be the next person, you know, to be referred out for a particular skill. You're a photographer and a video guy and now a podcaster.
Of course.
And you want to be next in line and you want people to know you exist. So most people in the world of entrepreneurship go through three phases. Phase number one is starvation. That is, I mean, you're just not very good at it. You may not be very good at the thing. You don't know how to market yourself. You don't know how to run a business. And you just keep hitting the nail squarely on the thumb. And that's just one of the things in business. The second stage is you're getting by. You're doing okay. And the third stage is overpaid. The overpaid people developed a market. They developed, I don't want to use the word reputation. Mm-hmm. Necessarily, but they developed a system that kept them in front of the people that need what they do, and they have the money and the wherewithal to purchase from you. Mm-hmm. That's called developing a market. Really, this is about a 4-hour seminar that we could do, and we'll talk more about developing a market as the cash flow show goes on. But today, just for a few minutes, you know, how do you develop a market that wants to buy your stuff?
Yeah.
And the first thing you have to get past is this idea that you're a salesperson. And we believe strictly in a concept called consultative selling. And you're not there to sell. You're just there to understand more about the person and see if what you do really makes the most sense for them. But to develop a market, you know, today in this world that we live in, there's a lot of ways people are on the internet and they're doing Facebook ads and they're, you know, in my old day, you could knock on doors and I've fortunately never had to do that, but you let people know and about 1 out of 100 people. But one of my favorite people, guy down in Houston, worked for my former company, one of the highest earning guys that I've ever met. And he knocked on 100 doors a night till he got a client. And about 1 out of 100, and he'd knock on the door and go, "Hey, you don't need any life insurance, do you?" And 1 out of 100 went, "You know, you're not going to believe this. We actually do. We were getting ready to get in the car and go look for some. Can you help us out?" And he built a substantial, substantial multi-million dollar business, marketing himself in a very direct, old school, but for me, very difficult way.
Yeah.
And I don't think people really want to knock, and maybe they do, and if they do, God bless them. Developing a market begins with recognizing who you are, where you are, and who can you talk to. And I believe the thing of this generation is doing that in a gentle way where you're not super salesy. Developing a market is about letting the world know you exist. Now, there are many ways to do that, and on this episode, we don't have time to cover all of those, but I wanted to introduce the concept called developing a market. You can't just run headlong into a group of people and go, "I'm selling something." Mm-hmm. And, you know, that might work if you're selling, you know, M&Ms or something.
I
cupcakes.
I buy chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. I think we would all be responsive to that. But I think this idea of selling in the decade that we're in is really about a gentle way. So today's the philosophical side of developing a market. It's a gentle way to let people know you exist and to let them know that you can have a conversation that doesn't result in you grabbing their leg and, you know, trying to go to town on it. And so that
don't be a poodle.
Don't be a poodle.
Don't be a poodle. Right. Thank you guys for that support. I appreciate that. In my world of three, I'm okay. So if you want to learn more about developing a market, I love to share that concept, and we'll actually be teaching a class on some of the basics about developing a market and how do you mature it. And it goes all the way from introduction to where you're sending out birthday cards to your former or your client list now. And the best place to get a client, let's be honest, it's from a client. Mm-hmm. And if you're not exactly sure how to develop, nurture, and mature that market, that's a conversation that we should have in private. And we'll be hosting a class on that here in the very near future. So with that, you want to get on with the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get on with the show. We are excited to have Danielle, I'm going to make sure I say it right, Pomerleau.
Correct.
Did I say it all right?
Oui.
Wait, hang on. What language are you speaking there?
It is French.
That is French. Okay, one of my favorite foods, the French fry, French dressing. And we have DanielleParmerleau.com, and we'll spell that in just a little bit. But Danielle is a debt elimination specialist, and this is a topic that I have been excited about my entire business life.
Mm.
And so I'm glad that we're getting to share some time today about this concept of debt. The average 54-year-old man has 20 grand saved up and 30 grand worth of debt. 25% of the people age 58 have zero money saved up and 15 or 20,000 worth of debt. And we're upside down in this world. And it sounds to me like you're a person who's going to just jump right in the middle of it. Say you, Danielle? Let's get an overarching, hey, let's talk a little bit about debt. And you know what? Why are you going in this business?
Well, if you would have told me that I was going to be into finances and anything that had to do with math, I literally would have laughed in your face.
Right.
And I would have told you you were crazy.
Okay.
Because me and math, me and numbers, me no likey.
Yeah.
And and it's probably, you know, one of the reasons why people are in debt, because it can be difficult and it can be challenging to understand all the different nuances of the types of debts and trying to keep up with it, and amortization schedules, and, you know, is a car loan the same as a mortgage and all that. And so how I got into this was God.
Right. Okay.
It's a very simple God. And that's kind of a lot of my stories. Is like, how did this happen? How'd you move to Oklahoma? God. I was praying for opportunity.
Okay.
So coming here to Oklahoma, I sold just about everything. And I hadn't been working for about a year. So just sitting with God and being like, what do you want me to do here, Lord? Like, why did you bring me here? And he had sent me to New York. He had sent me to North Carolina. And then he had sent me to Dallas. I'm like, Lord, I'm coming to the end of my money here. Like, I need opportunity. You need to open up opportunity for me, please. So as I'm going to Dallas, I get a series of texts. And so when I stop, the first one was from a woman that I was in real estate investing with, and we were in a mastermind together, and she told me about this company that she had partnered with and how she was helping people and the impact it was making. And I was like, holy cow, everybody needs to know about what you're doing. Like, this is amazing. Like, and I want, you know, back then they were teaching you, like, be an affiliate link. So I'm like, do you have an affiliate link? Like, you know, I'll refer you. And she's like, no, you'd have to be an agent. I'm like, no money, no numbers. And so that was her. And she was like, hey, are you looking for an income opportunity? And I'm like, yeah.
You prayed for it. Here we go.
Yeah. It was that morning. And I'm like, yeah. And so then I look at the next text, and it was somebody that I had gotten introduced here in Tulsa but hadn't met in person. We'd been, you know, talking and texting. And she says, hey, I just came into contact with this company that helps people pay off their mortgages in as little as 5 to 7 years without changing their income or without changing their lifestyle. And I partnered with them because it's going to partner well with my financial company. I know that you're looking for income. Are you interested? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is the same exact company. And so I went to the third text. And when I went to the third text, it was a woman that comes into my text every now and then. She gives me scripture. I don't know her well, never met her in person, but she's part of my online Christian Coaching Academy, which is the same with all these women.
Right.
And she gave me a prophecy instead of scripture. And I don't remember anything about the prophecy other than it said, what's in your hand? Make the decision and go with it. I will bless it. And when I read that, it stopped me in my tracks because one of my sisters in Christ, every now and then she'd get a word for me that was like, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? All I'm hearing is what's in your hand. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's in my hand right now. And then I had been previously speaking for the last 2 weeks with friends. They're like, Danielle, you got to make a decision and just go with it.
Right.
Either God's going to open up the doors or he's going to shut them and he's going to redirect you. But you got to do something.
And you'll know once you've gone through the process.
Yeah. So when I said that, I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, this is so not my wheelhouse. Like, no, like I'm all about like, you know, limiting beliefs and helping heal the inner child and all that stuff. And I was like, you just gave me a promise. I'm going to run with it. If you say you're going to bless it, I'm going to do it. Because, Lord, you know what my heart is about. Because my heart's about impact. Mm-hmm. It's really about, like, changing people's lives. Because that's been my prayer for a while. It's like, Lord, just, like, when I was cleaning houses and I had my cleaning business, I was like, Lord, like, this is making a difference. You know, like, I love seeing, you know, taking something and transforming it and turning it into something new and clean.
Sure.
And they loved it. They loved coming home. They loved being in the house while I was there. But it wasn't impact.
Right.
So I was praying for him to bring along something that was going to help change lives and also fill my pocketbook at the same time, fill my bank account at the same time. So fill them up and fill me up. And he had brought me into coaching and he brought me into inner healing and then he brought me to this.
Wow. That's an impressive story.
Yeah.
And now this is your first year being involved in that industry?
It is.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the most fun times.
Oh, it's challenging.
And challenging, right.
It's so challenging. There's so much to learn. Like, you're throwing numbers out at me. I'm like, in my head going, please don't ask me to give statistics.
No, I think the best people in finance aren't the numbers guys, but they're the compassionate people that know how to deliver the message. And, you know, I am a numbers guy, but boy, people don't light up when you talk about numbers.
Right.
They stare at you with like, yeah.
That would be me. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm all about like solving the problem. Like, you've got the problem, I've got the solution. Or like, let's see if I've got the solution for you because I may not.
Right.
You know, but let's just get together. You know, is it worth an hour of your time to see if it could possibly help you?
Right.
And let's go from there. And that's it, you know?
Okay. Well, we want to learn about you also. And we're going to talk a little bit more about debt a little bit later.
Okay.
So, people really want to get to know you. This is what I've learned in business. People just want to know who you are. And, you know, we had a meeting this morning with 20 new people in the room, and I was just trying to share with them who I am as a human. And I told them a funny story about my dad's funeral, and they looked at me like, really, you really did that? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I really did that. And like, okay, you're not right. But it was funny. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I did. And I think the best thing that you can do in business, in fact, I think the greatest compliment you can pay to another person is just be yourself
right
around them.
Right.
So that's
everybody else is taken.
So that's right. Yeah. So now we're going to dig in and find out a funny story about you that you would like to share with our listeners. Don't make me do it because I got 100. I want to hear yours. I'm tired of hearing mine.
Oh, golly. I mean, it could be the time that I went through my parents' house when I had no money and moved back home and my son was young. And I went through and wrapped up all their, you know, all the stuff they had unopened over the years and repackaged it. And they didn't have any clue. Or it could be the time that I think I'll go this one. So we were in Myrtle Beach. My parents were down visiting. I was in North Carolina, and we left my cousin at home. We lived together. And all of a sudden, I started getting a couple pictures, and I'm like, what is this? It was a 5-foot blow-up purple alien, and he had it standing in the living room holding the vacuum. And he said, I hope the who is it that comes for illegal aliens? Like, is it ICE?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like, whatever that acronym is. I hope they don't come and arrest me for having a legal alien come help me clean my house. Oh, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, you're not right. And then, like, these pictures would start trickling in every half hour of the alien doing different things. So the next one was the alien was, like, in the fridge looking for food.
Oh, wow.
And then the next one was the alien at the stove cooking. And then it was at the sink doing dishes. So I was getting these consecutive. And so my parents and I were laughing so hard. And we were just looking forward to these pictures coming in. Like, what's he going to do next? So when I came home, we had the stairs to go up into the living room. And he had it hanging over the stairwell. So when I looked up, it was like in my face. I was like, oh! So that began the saga of like, hide the alien to try to surprise you in different ways. So like the alien would disappear and then it would show up in areas like you wouldn't expect it. Like you'd open up the bathroom door and be standing right there. You'd open up a closet door and be there. And so that went on for a couple of months until we had no other places to like really play with it anymore in the house. And we had neighbors that lived on the hill with us. We were the only two people on the hill. And it happened to be around October. And my cousin had got up in the middle of the night and he looked out the window for some reason and he saw what looked like a hologram of a woman. So when we had gone over the next day, he was like, really? He's like, I really love your Halloween decorations. That hologram of the woman is amazing. And the neighbor was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, oh, whatever. He's like, whatever. Because it was all decked out for Halloween. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, the hologram woman. She's like, I don't know what you're just talking about. And so, and he's like, no, he's like, there's a hologram woman. I saw her. And she's like, yeah, no. So she went and talked to her boyfriend. And he was like, yeah, no hologram woman. And I was like, whatever. They're pulling your leg. And he's like, I believe she's pulling. I saw that. So then she texted back about that. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, let's mess with them. I'm like, let's take the alien. And let's put it at the end of the porch, at the covered porch, like it's looking around. And let's just wait until she notices and sees if she takes the bait and wow. Like see if she'll play with us. So we had it out there for a couple days. And she was like, hey, nice purple alien. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm so excited. And I was like, okay, tell her. I don't know what you're talking about. So we did that. She's like, whatever. You got a purple alien there. And I went and I pulled that alien away so she couldn't look or take a picture of it. And so I pulled it out. And then so that began the saga of like putting the alien different places for her to be able to see. So one day I put it in the window up front and she came over. We were outside with duck eggs. And she goes, oh, there's your purple alien. And on cue, without even having to talk to each other, we looked at the window. We looked at each other. We looked at her and we're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. We don't have a purple alien. She's like, whatever, it's right there. It's right there. And we're like, sorry. Her boyfriend comes walking up, and he's like, oh, what are you guys doing? She's like, oh, they're trying to convince me that there, you know, there's not a purple alien there. And he looks at the window and goes, I don't see anything. Oh, it was fantastic. Beautiful. It was fantastic. Yes. So then that created, like, I would put it, like, behind a tree. I literally got dressed up in camouflage, and I dressed the alien camouflage. And I went through the woods crawling on my hands and knees because I kept making it get closer and closer and closer to their house. I put it in the pasture. It was picking up horse poop. And then when she saw it, I went and took it out. So then finally, like, I put it in the bushes next to her house. So it was, like, peering through. And, yeah, we just had a blast until one day it disappeared. And I was like, oh, I'm like, they took it. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to do a ransom. I'm like, I wonder if we're going to get a ransom note. So we waited and we waited and we thought, oh, no. You know, like, they stopped playing. Oh, it got a hole in it. So we thought, like, maybe, like, they stopped playing. And then one day, my cousin was like, hey, go to the garage. And I'm like, why? He's like, just go to the garage. So I went out to the garage. I didn't see anything. I looked through the door. And there was the alien, half inflated, with his pants off next to him. And he had wine bottles all around him.
Oh, gosh.
And he had, like, fashioned, like, this cork thing. And he put, like, X's across his eyes to make it look like he went on a bender drinking. Came home, and that's why he was missing.
So the first thing people want to know about you is you're a troublemaker.
I just like to have fun.
Yeah, okay.
Be creative.
I may or may not have done some things like that. We'll do that in another show. You know, I was going to ask what people would be surprised to know about you, but I think you answered that in the first go-round. What else would people be surprised to know about Danielle Pomerleau?
I've signed the Berlin Wall.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my dad was in the military, so when I was younger, we moved over there and we rodeoed. So my mom barrel raced and rescue raced. My dad judged bulls. And when my brother got old enough, they allowed him to start calf roping and trick roping. And I was too young and I was very angry about that because I wanted to barrel race and I thought I could be all of those women out there. I'm like, I'll show them a thing or two. And so I was able to do some, like, the clown acts and stuff. But yeah, so that would bring us places every month. And so we went to Berlin, went to East Berlin, went through Checkpoint Charlie. And when we got there, they followed you around with machine guns behind you. And you weren't allowed to, you were only allowed to go to the places that you said you were going to go. And you had to take, like, this lecture for 2 hours on, like, driving there. And, like, you couldn't make U-turns. Like, they would arrest you. And we missed a turn. And I was like, oh, we're all going to jail. Oh, my gosh. Because, you know, we didn't follow the rules. But, yeah, so you got to see the guards with the machine guns standing there. And we walked the wall for, like, you know, 2 hours looking at all the graffiti and everything like that. And my dad and my mom were talking about, like, how if you sign the wall, like, they'll shoot you. And so by the end, we're like, okay, let's sign the wall. I'm like, no, they're going to shoot us. And I was so scared to sign that wall.
Wow.
Signed it in green pen. Yeah, I remember.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen pieces of the Berlin Wall. And what a historic thing. I mean, it's just the whole concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Have you seen it before?
Not in person, no.
I mean, not the whole thing, but
right.
Just in pieces.
Just photos.
Yeah, there was a display up in Dallas, and we're going actually back there next month.
We'll keep an eye out for Danielle and Green Pen. I have this hope that that piece didn't get destroyed, and that someday I will be reconnected with.
They saved a bunch of it, and
they're on display places.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I have that hope that one day, like, I will see my name.
That would be cool.
That's me.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. I do.
Okay. So I want to talk philosophically with you, and our goal is to get to know you better. And so can you imagine a world with no hypothetical situation? But here's a hypothetical situation. You got all the money you need. Money's fine. House is fine. What are you doing with your time?
Oh, my gosh.
And you have to do it for maybe the rest of your life. Let's talk about the rest of your life.
Oh, okay. So money's not an object.
Money's no object.
I've got a 1,000-acre farm with a couple ponds on it.
Yes.
I've got cabins dispersed on one side of it that's going to be for people to come get, you know, restored, have respite, relax, rejuvenation.
Yeah.
Whether it's, like, pastors and clergy that need to get away and, you know, just be to themselves, or really, I want to be rescuing animals as well. I'm going to have my, you know, herd of horses. I'm going to have my buckskin barrel racing horse because I would love to get back into that. And, you know, like a healing farm, healing for the animals and healing for people. And I'm not really sure, like, what kind of niche it would be, whether it be, like, addictions or if it would be, like, for people who have overcome, I don't want to get this bleep, so, you know.
We do no bleeping.
Oh, well, because, like, you might get on YouTube and stuff like that, they might censor you.
Okay.
Trafficked people, kinds of things.
Yeah. Right.
You know, maybe all of it, however, but, you know, like, so they can come there to that, to the healing farm and help take care of the animals, and they can heal together and learn, you know, how to care for themselves while they're caring for the animals, have retreats there. I want to go on mission trips. I want to go to Africa. I want to be where, like, people don't see the gospel or hear the gospel, and because they're ready for it. They're, they're, you know, like, miracles are happening all the time over there, and just, like, go do mission trips there. Just traveling alone and seeing God's creation, speaking about God, encouraging, you know, doing deliverances. I'm all about God's work.
Does your 1,000-acre ranch, you said it has two ponds?
Well, it'll probably have more, but in my mind, one is on the side where, like, people can swim, and then one is right at my house. So I'm going to be able to, like, just walk out into, like, I don't know if I want to have, like, a little boathouse where I can, like, go get away from, like a prayer room, like, when I go fast and stuff. And then the dock is right on the water, because I used to rent a lake house for my birthday, and it was this teeny little thing, and it had this teeny little dock, but it was on the water, so I could walk out of the kitchen, sit down, and plop my feet in the water. And I just loved that. It was so peaceful.
That's I got it in my brain. That's awesome.
It was beautiful.
Okay,
yeah.
So is there any place that you would like to travel to on that list? You said travel. Is there a place you've been or wish you'd been?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Italy comes to mind.
Right.
Anywhere old world, where you can step back in time and, you know, go back to the castles, like going into Germany and going to the castles. As a kid, I didn't appreciate it, and I didn't know what I was being exposed to. I'd really love to go back to Germany as well and retrace a lot of those steps that we did,
that,
like, the Heidelberg Castle, the Neuschwanstein Castle. That was a cool experience because I loved Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes.
And they filmed the scene where the car's coming down into the courtyard in that courtyard. So when I was there and they told me that, I was like,
that is so cool.
Yeah. So I would love to go back as an adult.
It'd be interesting to go as an adult and kind of recognize what your childhood experiences were kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Those are good dreams. So actually, you know what, Kenneth, what time it is? Is it time to take a break?
Time?
Yeah, it is time to take a commercial break right here.
I just thought of like 30 different answers to that based on sitcoms all over, but I figured we should just keep serious.
Let's go grab a commercial break real quick, and we'll be right back.
All right, sounds good. So today we're going to talk about bringing your awesome ideas to life. My name is Kenneth Bauckham, and I specialize in helping businesses explode their online presence through professional photography, video, and virtual event production with a rapid turnaround. It's commercial photo and video services with a personal touch. Learn more at kennethbauckham.com.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
And I think you need to add, podcast executive director extraordinaire. I don't know what the acronym is for that, but it's, you know, the PCDCEC.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Very cool. We are here today with Danielle Pomerleau, and she is a debt elimination specialist, but we're learning about her as a person as well, and, you know, her history and her background and some of her goal. I love to sit with people and talk about goals and dreams, and I think playing what if is one of the most fun things that we can do. You know, what if the money was right? And we actually do that and talk about that in some of our, you know, conversations where we go out and speak about, if the money was all fixed, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of get to learn the heart of the person. And inevitably people talk about the things that you speak of about, I love taking care of animals. And, you know, I think your dream and your goal for that is beautiful. I hope that happens for you.
It will. It's when it happens.
There you go. All right.
When it happens, because we're going to prophesy and speak it into existence.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about writing a book, because I want to know that if you could write a book tomorrow, first, you probably could write a book tomorrow. You've got a lot of experience with purple aliens.
Yeah, he randomly showed up on the doorstep. We didn't even know where he came from, so that's what made it even more fun.
I kind of think that somewhere in your book cover, there needs to be like a purple alien looking out from behind the porch or something.
Oh my gosh. One thing I didn't tell you about that was because that was such a long saga. I mean, it was like 4 months long, and our family like knew about it. We actually put together a calendar, and we sent it to our family members for Christmas of all the pictures and everything we did with it.
Troublemaker.
A calendar is like a book. It's like a 12, well, 24 if you count it up the proper way, but a 24-page book for 12 months, yeah.
There you go.
Right. Yeah, it is actually 365 days you had to write about.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Each segment wasn't very detailed, but very good. So if you wrote a book tomorrow, what would it be about?
There is many to choose from, but the one that I'm actually working on right now is the lessons I learned while driving in the storm on what it's like to be a bold, courageous, confident leader.
Now, is that a literal storm?
It was a literal storm. It was a literal snowstorm. And so God had taken me on this journey. He told me to go to this dance revolution. It was a couple hours away. And I knew it was going to storm. I knew my car was not going to handle well in it, even with the all-season tires it had on. I was just like, I don't know about this. So I packed like a week's worth of food just in case I got stuck. I put my army sleeping bag in there and all kinds of sleeping bags just in case I got stuck on the road. And got there in enough time to see like a dancer showcase in one thing. And then turned right back around the next morning. He woke me up. And like 5 a.m, and I knew he woke me up. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? And it was like, go. And I'm like, well, go where? Like, go home or, you know, go to the thing I came for. It was this dance conference. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? I'm trying to bridge this because it could be very, very long.
Okay.
My testimonies can be very long. I was in a lot of trepidation because I did not want to get stuck on the road. I did not want to be out in the cold. I didn't want to be putting myself in danger or other people in danger. And so I prayed on it, and he said, go home. And I'm like, why would you bring me here to just stay for a couple hours and then turn right back around and drive back in the storm? And then he revealed it to me while I was driving. And I was so tense. And I came from New York. I'm used to driving in it, but I knew my car. And so I was just like, I literally was crying. Because I'm like, I'm scared, Lord. I don't know why you're just, and I don't know why I'm scared because I know you're with me. And then my friend called to see if I had left, and he said a couple words to me, and I wish I could remember what those words were that were so poignant that literally like stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, you're right. Changed my attitude. And I was like, I'm good. Wish I could remember. Don't.
That's all right.
And along the way, as I came across these different scenarios, God dropped in the lessons to me, and I was like, oh. And then finally I was like, oh my gosh, now I get it. You're teaching me what it's like to be a bold, courageous, confident leader. Okay, so I had to hit record on my phone to record it because, you know, obviously I couldn't write. But there's all these, you know, like different scenarios of, you know, when you're going to step out and you're going to do what God is asking you to do, you're not going to see the road ahead of you and that, you know, the whiteout storms.
Right.
And, you know, you're not following in other people's tracks because you're called to be set apart and called to be a pioneer. And it's going to, you know, like, and it can be lonely and desolate out there. Like, it can be scary. But then there's going to be people that are going to come alongside of you, and they're going to travel with you on the journey. And some of them are going to go ahead of you, and some of them are going to, you know, you're going to have to leave behind. But, you know, it doesn't make it right or wrong. Just bless them and wish them a safe journey. And, you know, some of the decisions that you're going to make aren't going to be the best decisions, you know, like getting on an exit ramp where, you know, you're going uphill and you're starting to like, you know if you're going to make it, and then the gas station's not open and you're like, I've got to go. And it's like, Lord, you just need to bring me a gas station because I'm not going to make it. Lots of different scenarios. And like, you know, there's going to be obstacles in your way, and you're not going to, you know, you're going to have to make decisions on whether you're going to go around it and take that risk because that person in front of you is being dangerous, you know? And so whatever the scenario is in your life, or are you just going to wait and allow him to take the obstacle out of your way? And if God is going to, you know, bring you to it, he's gonna bring you through it.
Right.
So I was having some, you know, trepidation about like, okay, how am I gonna get from the exit to my house? Because we had 14 inches of snow, which we'd never get. Like, we don't get snow there. And they don't plow there because we don't have the resources. And so I was like, I live a mile away, which is not bad, but it's 14 inches of snow. I'm in skinny jeans and my cowboy boots, which means snow is going to go down in there and it's going to be miserable. Yeah. And do I bring my food with me? Because I packed my entire fridge up, right?
Right.
So I'd have nothing at the house. So I'd be home for maybe 5 days before they can plow, because it can take that long before they can plow. Or, you know, like, do I bring my clothes with me? Because I brought everything. Like, what do I do? And I'm like trying to figure it out. And I'm calling my son to see if he's, you know, he's out and about, and called my housemate. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to park it at, hopefully I can get off the exit. I'll park it at the gas station and I'll just walk. Like, I'll just have to figure it out. And then she calls me like 10 minutes prior to getting there. She's like, hey, Noah's out and about in his truck. He's supposed to be coming by at the exact time you should be getting here. She's like, I'll just have him pick you up. And I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. So literally as I'm pulling in, he's pulling in, throw the stuff in the back. And like, he had a really hard time getting home and getting where we were in his four wheel drive. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah. Know? There's no way you would have made
there's
it.
There's no way. And, as soon as I got to the house, I'm like, I should have known if he called me to it, he was going to see me all the way through it door to door. And I should have never doubted and never feared. But that was also another lesson, is like, no matter what, no matter what you're going through, doubts and fears are always going to come.
Sure.
It's whether you're going to rest and trust in him.
Mm-hmm. So it's a story then of faith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Obedience and faith and trust. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's difficult sometimes.
Yeah,
it
can be.
It's easy to have faith when everything's going well. And it's right. Easy to say, but when it's a little sketchy.
And dicey.
Yeah, you're like, hey, dude.
Yeah, many yeah. Dicey situations. Yeah,
yeah, very cool. Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about how you found your line of work, right? Mm-hmm. You had three, you'd been praying, yeah. You got some texts from some people, and you're in your first year of doing this. This is a very enthusiastic time. And you also happen to know that the market for what you do is giant.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of people. As you're out in the world, how do you see debt affecting not the finances, but the family, the relationships?
Mm. Oh, my gosh. I mean, money affects every aspect of everybody's life.
Right.
And so one of the common things that people stress about and then they argue about is money.
Right.
And debt and how it's affecting them, right? Like, can we afford this? Can we do that? Can we go on vacation? The burdens of, like, moms having to go back to work and not be with their kids, or dads having yeah. to work two jobs, or, and then how are we going to afford the babysitter? And so, and then people not being able to live in joy and living below what God has created us for, which is to be in joy and in the overflow. So, yeah, just every aspect of their life, debt is you know, they have to make decisions based off of, like, can I make the bills? And can we do this? Can we take that vacation? So, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of the, and it's prevalent, but it's a lot of people don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they approach it with an element of shame. How do you work through the shame to talk to people about the subject of debt?
Well, just knowing, like, everybody, well, I turned it on airplane mode and I turned it on do not disturb, but apparently my alarm was set. I apologize for that. You know, just letting everybody know, like, It's something that we're taught. Like, you grow up, you go to college, so there's debt. You get a car, that's debt. Like, debt is considered normal. So just letting know, like, you're not alone. Like,
right.
Everybody struggles. Like, even people that are making a ton of money, they're still struggling,
yeah.
Right? Just because you're making more money doesn't
matter how much you make. It right. Matters how much you keep.
Exactly, because you're creating more debt. It's like, oh, well, we can afford that. And so, like, you're still...
Yeah, you're so what I learned is that your level of misery follows
right.
you around.
Right, and it's okay, because I'm here to help, and I'm not here to judge you.
Right.
I'm really here to help you, because I want to see you happy. I want to see you being able to play with your kids. I want to see you and your husband loving on each other again,
right.
And going back to that honeymoon phase and being able to date each other again, because
right.
you can go on that, you know, that date night, and you
right.
can... afford the babysitter to be able to go on that date night.
So, I mean, there's so much to learn about this. Mm-hmm. And people can find you at DanniellePomerlow.com. Mm-hmm. They can also find you on Facebook.
Yes.
They can find you in the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group. You've become one of our friendly, prominent members that everybody knows. And what has your experience been good with the bong?
Yes, yes. And you know what's really interesting, Cash? You know, doing a lot of reflecting is, and this came to as a surprise to me. I was in another business. It wasn't a networking group, but it was a Christian Coaching Academy. And I threw myself in there and found that I did a lot of things that I hadn't done before. I was really stretching myself, and I became a big face on there. And when it came to the bong, it was different. And I don't know why it was different. And I was seeing everybody making friends, and like I was seeing like the friend groups.
Right.
And I started to shy away, and I'm like, but I did that in that group, and I made a huge network of friends. Why is this so different? And so I noticed it was bringing up some triggers from childhood in high school. And it was hitting some wounds, and I was like noticing thoughts I was having, and I was noticing I wasn't showing up the way I wanted to.
Right.
And I had to take a hard look at that, and I was realizing like, okay, like this is bringing up stuff that needs to be healed in me.
Right.
And after talking to some other people, they were saying the same thing of like how this community has helped bring things up and bring to awareness stuff that needs to be healed, or like just having that safe place with people that you've made friends with,
right,
to be able to be authentic enough to heal or to take those steps forward. So, and you know, what I like about it is that, you know, not everybody's going to be for everybody, and that's okay.
Oh yeah. That's,
it doesn't matter. And it's like, here's what we're doing. Come.
Yeah. It's my whole goal in getting started. I just wanted to make a few friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were early like, man, wouldn't it be great if we could get 50 people in this group. And we've had 50 people apply today.
Yeah.
And so that's, we're looking at it, but you know, it's just a unique thing that exists at the moment that we're all enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made friends, and we're, you know, you and I had dinner at Stephanie's house, and I had a blast. And, you know, it's just a very, I don't know, it's just a very different kind of lifestyle that I haven't lived before.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because your intention was to make friends that you can network with and build business with. And maybe not, you know, like,
I still have 2 years in. I still haven't gotten around to talking about my business. I know at some point I might do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kenneth did a nice ad for us.
Yeah.
You know, on our business. But, you know, it's just been an interesting thing. And we are very glad that you're part of it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be a part of it.
Do you have a hot golden tip that you would like to give to our listeners? A golden nugget? Is there one thing that you would tell entrepreneurs just getting going?
Was the golden nugget that came through to me as I was here, because I'm like, what's it going to be, Lord? Was that just follow the Lord. He's got better plans for you than you can ever imagine. And
for I know the plans I have for you.
Exactly. Like, and do it scared, and do it when it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because you don't know what he's setting up, and he's always going to set you up for success,
right?
Always. And so it may not make sense. It might make sense 5 years down the road,
right?
Maybe 15. But if you don't do that one thing, you're never going to get set up for that. And, you know, it's going to go on a whole different trajectory. And just listen for his voice and just keep letting it stretch you and keep letting it stretch you, because God's going to stretch you.
Oh, yeah.
And anything you do in entrepreneurship anyway, you've got to stretch yourself. And so he's got the best plans for you. And also, like, you know, I know we have people that'll be listening that aren't believers.
Right.
And I just invite you to just, you know, say, hey, you know, like, God, if you're real, you know, like, what's this girl talking about? You know, if you're real, show me, you know, like, and when he shows you, because he will, you know, if you ask him for a sign, he will give it to you.
Right.
And when it comes, don't dismiss it. Because he's given you what he's asked for. And, you know, he's been giving you signs your entire life anyway. So, you know, this is your confirmation.
We said that was our closing message today in our event, mm-hmm. was if you ask God for advice, take it.
Take it. Don't dismiss it.
All right. We are here with Danielle Pomerleau. DanielPomerleau.com. You can find her on Facebook as well. She is a debt elimination specialist and a character, maybe a bit of a troublemaker. Ask her about the purple alien. So, Kenneth, you ready to wrap this up here, sir?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, well, first, thank you for those who are listening and watching for being here today. You know, it is interesting to work towards a goal locked arm in arm with a bunch of other people. And we think this is just a great place where you can get a few tips and make a few friends and move forward in your own journey of fire, aim, ready. And so for today, be nice to each other. You know, let's make good decisions for our families. And more importantly than that, today might just be the greatest day ever to forgive somebody who absolutely does not deserve it. We've all been in that spot before. And isn't it great that we're all forgiven? Mm-hmm. And sometimes forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you and cutting those chains that might be holding you down. Give it a try. And if it doesn't work, we'll offer a full money-back guarantee.
There you go.
You got that?
Sure.
Put that in writing. So to our friends out there watching, listening, and sharing this show, thank you very much. And I want to remind you, this show is about you. Thanks for being at Cashflows.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.